Turn your Bibles this morning, if you would, to James chapter 1. We began last week talking about wisdom, God's what, when, and how. How many of you have ever needed direction for life? Amen. Came to a fork in the road and didn't know which way to go. That's a cry for wisdom. And so we talked a little bit last week. We began to talk about how to make the right decisions for our life, how to receive God's wisdom. God has never left His people in the dark. And if we're in the dark, if we don't know what to do, if we don't know which way to go in life, it's not because God is holding out on us where His wisdom is concerned. God's communicating to us. The real question is, are we listening and are we taking advantages of the source of wisdom that God has made available to each and every one of us? Can you say amen? So in James chapter 1, starting with verse 5, notice what the scripture says here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Well, let me just stop there and say, you know, a lot of times we come to God, maybe we need answers, and maybe we feel like I should already know this, I should already be past this, but God is not sitting there looking to slap your hand when you come to Him for answers. Amen. He said He gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It will be given to him. Not a maybe, maybe not proposition. It will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not thy man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So like we said last week, it is scriptural to ask God for wisdom. He promises us throughout His Word that He will give guidance and direction to His children. And when we're really crying out for wisdom, that's what we're asking for. We're asking for an answer. We're asking for guidance, direction. Lord, what do I do in this particular situation? Because in life, as we said, we're all faced with options where we can go one of three ways. We can either go our way, whatever seems best in our own eyes or what we want to do, and sometimes that might be governed more by the flesh than the spirit, or we can go the way of the world. And how many know we don't want to go the way of the world? We are supposed to be marching to the beat of a different drummer, and yet a lot of times, absent of the wisdom of God, we'll fall back on the conventional wisdom of the world and just do what everybody else is doing. And how many of you know that can land you in a kettle of fish? Amen. Or the third option is to go God's way. And that's why we cry out for the wisdom of God so we can have His answers for life. Now, like we said, these verses are set in a particular context. And we're not going to go back necessarily and take the time. But if you're to look back in the verses that precede this, he talked about if any of you are going through a test or a trial, count it all joy. Amen. And let patience have its perfect work that you might be perfect and entire, wanting or needing nothing. So what he was saying is, in the midst even of a crisis, even when the pressure's on, that's when you can ask God for wisdom and He'll give you His answer. Amen. And so we began to define wisdom last week, and we talked particularly about one aspect of it. But like I said, you know, if you were to look in the dictionary for a definition of wisdom, it'd probably be pretty complex, particularly the larger the dictionary, the more complex the answer. But the conventional definition has been the proper application of knowledge. And that's as good a definition, I guess, as any, as far as it goes. But when you're a communicator like myself, and you're trying to teach people the Word of God, you want something concise, something they can grab onto and use and remember. So I was seeking God over the years, not just once, not just twice, but over and over again. I've said, Lord, what's a good, concise definition for wisdom? And the Lord gave me a good one, I felt. He said, wisdom is God's what to do. And like I said, we all come to a fork in the road. Lord, do I go right or do I go left? Do I go to this church or that church? Do I take this job or that job? Do I marry this individual or this person? How many of you know those are not issues in which you want to just kind of be rolling the dice? You need God's what to do. Do I go right or do I go left in life? How many of you know just one decision can either cause you to succeed in life or amen, kind of go in the other direction? And we don't want to fail. We don't want to fall on our face. And yet God has promised to give us wisdom for every issue of life. He'll give us His what to do. And like I said, the good news is God's got a what to do for you. Because He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He won't reproach. He'll give liberally and you will receive His wisdom. Like we said, sometimes we need God's what to do in a very general context. Like I said, there's been times I've come to at the end of a season in life. I remember for me, when I was traveling, I traveled for 6 years. Crisscrossed the United States, went overseas somewhat in the traveling ministry. Wonderful experience, wonderful time. But I could tell that season was coming to an end. The grace began to lift. It was just more intolerable to leave home. And I could tell there were some internal changes going on. I began to see myself doing different things for God. And yet there's just such a multiplicity of options. Where do I go from here? I mean, do I pastor? Do I travel over overseas? Do I become a missionary? What, do I become a chaplain? I mean, dear Lord, how many options can you possibly have in life? So many. So you want the mind and wisdom of God. So I'm listening to my heart. I'm praying. I'm seeking the face of God. And slowly but surely, here comes this conviction crystallized on the inside. And that's really what you've got to look for, is what is God saying to you? A lot of times people come to these forks in the road, and rather than going to go, what does James say? Let him ask of God. Not let him ask of his neighbor. Not let him ask of his mother. Not let him ask of his best friend. Not even necessarily let him ask of his pastor. Although there's nothing wrong with getting guidance and counsel from trusted mentors and leaders. But how many of you know at the end of the day, you've got to hear from God for yourself? Amen. And so in my life, in seeking after God, you know, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to just do whatever I want to do. I certainly don't want to do what everyone else thinks I ought to do. Because everybody and their brother has an opinion for your life. I like what one individual said, God loves you and everyone else has a wonderful plan for your life. Amen. And a lot of people have ideas of what you ought to be doing, but God is looking out not only for your best interest, but for the best interest of the kingdom and everyone involved. Can you say amen? And so there'll come that time in life where you come to the end of a season. And Lord, what do I do? And God eventually led me and directed me to go back into pastoral ministry. And we pioneered a church in New England for 10 years. Came to the end of a season. Lord, what do I do? General wisdom. Sometimes you need wisdom in a very specific context. Lord, what do I do about this particular situation? Lord, what do I do about this particular relationship? Lord, what do I do about this particular opportunity? And we need something very specific. And again, God will not leave us without guidance. I think there are some areas, though, in which we need to realize that God has given us a store of wisdom in His Word, and then just being believers, there are some things intuitively we ought to know. I don't think you need worry about asking God what you need to eat for breakfast when you wake up in the morning or what outfit you need to wear. Now, maybe in some cases you do, but for the most part, how many of you know there is a store of wisdom that God will give you? And then there's, and I'll get into this in a moment, but there's some conventional wisdom that you can draw on. In other words, you know, for example, let's say you wake up and you got a bit of a headache, and particularly, you know, if you're stay at home still, you don't necessarily have to get on your face before God. You can say, Mom, what do I need to do for this? Can you say amen? There are people in our lives that have a store of wisdom for some of the everyday stuff in life. And the reason I'm bringing that up is sometimes we can get overly dramatic and overly spiritual about some things that really require a very simple answer. Can you say amen? But at the same time, we don't want to just fall on what everyone else is doing, what everyone is saying we should do. We need the wisdom of God for our own life. And thank God, as we said, God has a what to do for you. Can you say amen? Now, a couple things we mentioned about that is, number one, and I just kind of touched on this, two things if you're going to ask God for wisdom, you need to realize. Number one, there is a store of wisdom in His Word. And if you're going to pass over the general wisdom that God's given to all of us in His Word, there's not even any reason to ask Him anything else, because you're not going to get anything else. And if you did, it wouldn't do you any good. Because if your life is not in line with the general wisdom of God's Word, you're already out of line with God. Things are not going to go right for you in life. If there's areas in which you know you're in direct disobedience, to what the Scripture has to say, you need to get that straight. Now let me say this. I have, you know, people sometimes come to you for counseling as a leader, as a pastor. A lot of time, now don't get me wrong, not all the time. Sometimes people come because they're simply in a situation in life where they don't know what to do. They need a little counsel. And I'm always happy to share the Word of God one-on-one, because counseling, that's all you're doing. Is instead of giving it from the pulpit, you're giving it to him personally. Because I don't have any wisdom outside of the Word of God. Amen. Because if it's specific wisdom you need to get that from God. I'm not your Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? So there's some things you need to get from God for yourself. Now, there's sometimes people have come to me with some pretty, let me say, exotic ideas of God's will for their life. And in my judgment, I can kind of tell they're probably a wee bit off in some of these things they feel God is wanting them to do. Amen. How do you know we can get real grandiose sometimes about God's vision for our life, and yet our normal everyday life might be a mess? How do you know God wants your life straightened out before you try to, you know, attempt great things for the kingdom of heaven? There are some things that ought to be a priority to us in life. But I will say this, oftentimes people will come to you for counsel because they actually already know what the Word says about their situation, and they're hoping you can come up with a plan B. And there is no plan B. God's wisdom in His Word is the only wisdom, as far as His general wisdom for our lives are concerned, that we're to follow. Now, how many of you know in the climate, particularly in America, in which we live now, it is not politically correct to govern your life according to the Word of God? But how many of you also know God's not going to be changing His mind anytime soon? So whether it's politically correct, whether it's in vogue or not, there are some things the Word of God says that it says, and of course it's never going to change. Because God's right to begin with, and when you're already right, why change? Can you say amen? So if there's areas in which your life is out of line with the Word of God, you need to put it back in line. And one thing you need to realize, the Bible said we are delivered from the power of darkness. But if you were intentionally, knowing better, intruding over into places that are inconsistent with the truth of God's Word, you are opening your life up to the devil. And he will do nothing but come and steal, kill, and destroy. And you can't compromise. He takes no prisoners. All he wants to do is ruin you. So what you need to do is walk in the light you have. Now the good news is, you don't have to again come up with any kind of exotic, you know, answers. If you know the truth, walk in the light of it. If you don't know the truth, investigate what the Word of God has to say about your situation and seek for some godly counsel. But when you get the answer, don't try to justify a behavior that's inconsistent with what the Word plainly teaches. Because beyond that, we have no answers for you when it comes to the general will of God. Amen. The second thing, if you're going to go to God for His wisdom, you need to be committed to do what He leads you to do. When James talks about not wavering, that a man who wavers is like a wave of the sea, he's not necessarily talking about wavering when you ask. He's talking about wavering when you receive. There's a lot of people whom God speaks His wisdom to, and they kind of want to say, Lord, is there anyone else up there I can talk to? Because there's sometimes He'll give us direction in life that is hard on the flesh. Can you say amen? You know, there's some things in regard to the call of God. Or, you know, even in simple, something simple like serving the Lord. God may deal with you about stepping up and helping out. But that's going to mean waking up a little earlier, getting to church a little earlier, taking on some responsibility that is not necessarily, you know, deemed to just directly bless you, but to serve others. And the question might come, yeah, but what do I get out of this? How many of you know we're already going backward? Amen. How many of you know maturity means that we set our own needs aside to be a blessing to someone else? You'll find that to be true in life as well as spiritual life, that when we're spiritual babies, it's all about me, 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 me. Amen. But Jesus said, freely you've received, now freely give. And that's the difference really between immaturity and maturity. Immaturity says, give me, give me, give me. I want to receive. I always want to be in a position where I can get. Maturity begins to say, okay, God has imparted some things to me. Now I want to impart some things to other people to be a blessing to their life. And the Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It takes some faith to believe that. Because a lot of people want to stay on the receiving side of life and never come to a place of maturity where they begin to selflessly contribute to the benefit of others. Can you say amen? Maybe you came for a different message, but this is all we got. Praise God. Amen. But what I'm saying is, how many of you know if God leads us and gives us direction, we need to be committed to do what He leads us to do. In other words, we have to have a not my will but thine be done kind of devotion to God if we're going to hear from Him. Because there's a lot of things we might be asking God for wisdom on, such as relationships, such as maybe spending money in some areas we really want to spend it when God's telling us to save. Or it might be certain opportunities we really want to take, but we know that to take them might mean compromising our Christian testimony. How many of you know there are some things that we come to the Lord with, but we're not really necessarily neutral. Our gun's already loaded with a direction we really want to go. And how many of you know that whatever God says, if we're going to ask Him for wisdom, we got to be committed to do that thing? Can you say amen? So when you go in and ask God for wisdom, don't waver, but be committed to do what He leads you and guides you to do. Can you say amen? Now, like I said, over the years, God has added to my understanding of wisdom. It's not just God's what to do, it's also God's how to do it. And it's also His when to do it. Because as we said, God can give you His what, but if you don't have His when, you can step into the will of God in the wrong time, and it's the same as being out of the will of God. Like I used the analogy last week, you can go to a wedding that you're invited to. Blaine went to one last night, or my stepson, Maria's son, went to a wedding last night. What if he'd gotten the wrong date? And he shows up all dressed up, you know, in the right venue, but the place is dusty and windblown and there's nobody there. No cake, no streamers, no nothing. Well, I'm in the right place. I did the right thing. Yeah, but you did it at the right time. I mean, at the wrong time. And as a consequence, it's the same as being in the wrong place. Can you say amen? So we need not only God's what to do, but we need His when to do it, and we need to know His how to do it. So as we said, wisdom is God's what, when, and how. And last week we started talking primarily about the what to do. And we basically said that when God guides us, when He leads us, the chief thing we need to understand about that is that He's going to lead us internally, not externally. Let me read a couple of verses to you that we touched on last week, and then we'll get into some new stuff. Romans 8:14-16. Romans 8:14, Paul said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So how is God going to lead us? He's going to lead us by His Spirit. But then verse 16 shows us how it works. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. If I were to ask you today, you've been born again, saved for a long time. If I were to say to you, how do you know that you're saved? You'd say, well, the Word of God assures me. Yeah, but apart from that, on the inside, how do you know? You might have different ways of expressing it. Some people will just say, I don't know, I just know that I know. I have a peace. I know. And a lot of times words fail us because it's not an intellectual understanding, it's an intuitive knowing. And that's that inward witness. Somebody will just say, you know, I don't know, every time I think about going this direction, it just feels good. I just have peace in my heart. It just seems like the right thing to do. Brother Hagin used to say, it's like that velvety-like feeling in your spirit. Or you just have a green light on the inside to go that way. That's all words trying to say, I just have a peace. I have an inward witness from the Spirit to my own heart that this is the way I should go. That is how God leads us. It's very important you understand this, because a lot of people are still wanting God to lead them from the outside. Lord, if you want me to do this, have 3 double-decker buses drive by my house in the next 10 minutes. Lord, if you want me to do this, just open the door and make it possible. Friend, you got to understand, Satan is the god of this world. And there's a lot in the natural world he can manipulate also. So God's not going to lead you in this outside, external stuff. God's going to lead you internally in your spirit. And sometimes to get that wisdom means setting aside some time to pray, to wait on God, to get quiet. Maybe even a little missing a meal, a fast or two, or something along those lines to get yourself quiet and hear the voice of God on the inside. Because this is how God leads us. There's no New Testament promise or provision for God directing us externally. Now, I found this to be true, that once I've got it on the inside and I know, God will confirm it with 1,001 voices externally. But what I'm guided by, what I'm led by, is that witness on the inside. You know, one of the things I thought was kind of funny when I got the direction from God to go to New England, everywhere I would go, I would see New England. If I went into the department store, went by down the jigsaw puzzle aisle, I'd notice every jigsaw puzzle of me looked like New England. It wasn't. There was Norman Rockwell there. There was Thomas Kincaid, jigsaw puzzles, but I would only see the New England ones. Now that's not something happening on the outside. That's something happening in me. Because I have eyes to see what God's already saying to my heart. I'd go down to LA and guess what I'd run into? Vermont Boulevard, New Hampshire Avenue. I mean, everywhere I'd go, I would see New England. It would speak to me. But it's not that God's changing the street signs. It's not an external thing. It's what's happening in me causing me to notice these things. It's like the whole world was calling out to me because of God, what God was witnessing to my spirit. Can you say amen? So like we said, we call it the inward witness. And we trust not in our understanding, not in our intellect, but in what God is saying in our heart. The Bible said, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Check with Him. And He will direct your paths. We said we also call it following peace. The Bible said in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. What does that mean, let the peace of God rule in your heart? The word actually means to be the umpire. Let peace call the shots. Like I've said before, and I'll say it again, I don't care if everybody and their brother is running a certain way in life, or jumping on the bandwagon of this or that. If I don't have peace, I will not sacrifice my peace for anybody or anything. I remember when I was going to Rhema Bible Training Center, I came out of the Southern Baptist context. God bless the Baptists. They taught me, but Rhema's not Baptist. It's full gospel. Word of faith. Well, not everybody from my old camp liked that. I actually had one evangelist, a well-known evangelist, who used to come to this area a lot, say, Randy, if you just won't go to Rhema, I'll help you. In other words, trying to basically bribe me not to go to the Bible school God was leading and directing me to go to. But you know what? I had peace with going to Rhema. Yeah, I wouldn't care. Now, don't get me wrong. I respect all these people. I don't care if Billy Graham sat across the table from me and said, brother, I just think the wisdom of God for you would be. I don't care. I've got in my heart what I know to be the wisdom of God. I have peace in my heart. That's the way I'm going. Now again, I don't care what kind of peace a person thinks they have. If what they think they have obviously violates the Word of God, they're wrong. How many of you know, and really, let me just say this. Any of this stuff can be manipulated by somebody who wants to do what they want to do. I know a lot of people who say, oh, I prayed about it and God said it was fine. Did He really? You mean He violated three chapters of the Bible to tell you it was okay to do something? No, He did not. You're lying to yourself. And sometimes we just got to call a spade a spade. You're not being honest with God. You're not being honest with yourself. If it violates the Word of God, it's wrong. And no preacher, no friend can make it right. You know, there's certain lifestyles today that people want to say, oh, it's okay, it's okay. Times are changing. God hasn't changed. His Word hasn't changed. And I don't care what the political winds or social winds of society and culture do. I like what I always say this, you know, God, the truth of God's Word does not swing like a pendulum. It falls like a plumb line. And what we need to do is stand our lives up along the side, the plumb line of God's Word. And if they're off kilter, if they're off with God's Word, we need to line ourselves up with what His truth says. Can you say amen? Yeah. We need to line our lives up with the Word of God. But if we're committed to do that, God will lead you by peace in the way we should go. And then we just kind of humorously said that you need to learn to follow your seamer. And we looked at the language of Luke. In Luke 1 and also in the book of Acts, which Luke also wrote, particularly in Acts 15, there were decisions that the early church had to make. And again they said, it seemed good to us. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. One particular prophet of God stayed in Antioch because it seemed good to him. Luke said he wrote his gospel account because it seemed good to him to write it. What's he really saying? I had peace with it. It felt right on the inside. So all this is different language to following the what of God for your life. Amen. You've got a fork in the road. Do I go right? Do I go left? What do you have peace with? What seems right? What do you have a witness to do? Can you say amen? So we need to follow the wisdom of God on the what. But we also need to know how. So let's talk about that for a little while. How many of you know if God has led you in the what, He'll lead you in the how also?
That's right, amen.
Now sometimes the problem with a lot of us is we want all the information up front. And God does not operate that way. I know when Brother Hagin said, you know, they were led by God to start the Bible school that I eventually attended, and you know, thousands of others. And when they were led to do it, it was just really a supernatural revelation of Brother Hagin in a meeting. God spoke to him, said, I want you to start a Bible school in the fall. This is back in the 70s. Well, at that same time, there were other ministers who were getting the same wisdom in their heart, same direction in their heart. So they're calling Brother Hagin up left and right saying, how do you do it? And he said, I don't know. I've never done this before. But he'd tell him again and again. But if God told you to do it, He'll tell you how.
Amen.
Amen. The problem is, like I said, a lot of times what we want is all the information up front. Listen to what Psalms 37:5 says. It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and what? He shall bring it to pass. Not you. He'll bring it to pass. But He's not going to give you all the wisdom and direction up front. Besides, you wouldn't remember it anyway. I don't know about you, but if I go to the grocery store, I need a list if I need more than three things. So how is God going to drop all the wisdom for you for what you need to do for the entire next season of your life? No, what He'll do is He'll be like a GPS for you. And when you need to make a turn, He'll start talking. When you get close, He'll start directing. But do what you have in your heart to do. Do what you know to do for now. You know, when it came time for us to start this church, we didn't worry at that moment about what color the chair is going to be. How are we going to set up the platform? What kind of software are we going to use? You know what we did? We rented a building. First, the fort. We just made it as simple as we could. We need some chairs for people to sit in. I mean, we didn't have all the wisdom that we're even operating in today, as meager as it might seem to be. But we just started with what we knew to do. And if you do, then God will give you favor and wisdom as you go. It's kind of like those doors at the grocery store. You can walk straight out a Safeway door, and it won't open until you step on the pad. And what a lot of people want is for the door to open 5 feet back. But sometimes you've got to walk into what looks to you like a brick wall in obedience to God, and then the doors will begin to open for you through your obedience of faith. Can you say amen? It is a faith proposition. The New Living Translation says, commit everything you do to the Lord, trust Him, and He will help you. God will give you the know-how. Can you say amen?
Amen?
You know, it's one thing to know that you need to start a church. It's another thing to know how. Or to know how this time. I've planted several churches and every one has been different. And I haven't done anything really the same yet a second time. Because God has a different direction for us each time we step out. You know, it's interesting, but there's myriads of books on how to start a church. There's myriads of books on whatever it is you need wisdom for. Why? Because success is not guaranteed just because you're called. Sometimes you need some wisdom. Can you say, listen to what Colossians 1, 9 and 10 says. Again, this is one of the prayers of Paul. Paul said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will." Notice this. In all wisdom. Not just what to do, but how to do it. The knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's not enough to know the what. You've also got to know the how, and you've got to know the when. Amen? There are several ways we can get the how to. One is we can learn from others. Like we said earlier, this is what we might call conventional wisdom. This is the wisdom we learn from the experience of other people. We might say it's the tried and proven way to do certain things. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, in following God's will for our life, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be unique to us. But how many of you know there are some areas in life in which we do not need to reinvent the wheel? For example, if you need some good advice in leadership, read a book by John Maxwell. If you need some good sound financial counsel, read something from Dave Ramsey or from any of these other good godly financial counselors that have some good fundamental biblical wisdom to speak into your life. You don't need to say, "I need financial counsel, so I'm going to fast and pray for 7 days and fall on my face before God," when there's a myriad of good counsel and advice and wisdom already out there, at least enough for you to step out on to begin. And then as you go, God can give you more specific direction as you go. Can you say amen? Sometimes even in your specific context, what God has dealt with others to do can speak into your life. I read a lot of books, and I like what one individual said. He said, a lot of times he said, people will ask me to recommend good books to them. And he made a great statement. He said, "I don't do that." He said, "The reason I don't is because it's not so much the book, it's the time in life in which you read it." And he made a great observation. Some of you might remember, might know who Tommy Barnett is. He pastors an enormous church down in First Assembly of God in Phoenix. And I don't think he's a pastor anymore. I think he's since retired. But they did the Dream Center. And they did it in Phoenix, and then they did a Dream Center in Los Angeles. And a tremendously successful minister. Well, there's a minister that I like to listen to a lot who pastors in England. And he was reading Tommy Barnett's book. I think it's called There's a Miracle in Your House. And basically, in that book, he read the whole book and didn't get a lot out of it except for one thing. And that was about their bus ministry. And he said, "When I read that, I just knew it was the wisdom of God for me." Now, what's really happening? Something on the inside of him began to jump up and down when he read that. Now, the rest of the book, he couldn't probably tell you anything else in that book. But that wisdom that God spoke to Tommy spoke to him. And sometimes, same thing will be true as you're reading the Word of God. Sometimes something will just leap out and speak to you right now. And so sometimes even just the conventional wisdom of other people, though some of it may not be for you, some of it will speak to your heart. I just think it's wrong for us to run around the country asking everybody and the brother what we should do, what we should do, what we should do, when we're passing over so many wonderful resources of wisdom that God's already given us in His Word, by His Spirit, and even the conventional wisdom that God has given to others. Can you say amen? But then sometimes, like we said, you need specific wisdom for your own context. You've got to get it from God for yourself. Just because God led you one way one time doesn't mean He'll lead you the same way the second time. And in my life, I found that to be the case. Now listen, sometimes in life, depending on the circumstance, and I think maybe this will speak to some of you married couples with husbands and wives and their complementary strengths. Sometimes God will give you the know-how for a certain season in life. Sometimes He will give it to someone with whom you're doing life at that time. Let me give you a good example of that. Let me read to you out of Exodus 31. This is when Moses is being commissioned by God to build the tabernacle. So you could say that Moses was the general contractor. But how many of you know a general contractor doesn't necessarily do the plumbing? General contractor doesn't necessarily do, well, whatever parts they don't do. I don't know what they do, what they don't do. But I know they don't maybe do the plumbing, or maybe they don't do the electric. But what they'll do is get other contractors come in and do that stuff, right? So you got someone who oversees the project. You could say that was Moses' responsibility. But notice what God says to him in Exodus 31, starting with verse 1. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God,'" notice this, "'in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, and cutting jewels, for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, indeed, I have appointed him Aholiab, the son of that guy, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you.'" What is he saying? He's saying, "I've given these fellas know-how." Now, if you and I look at a block of wood or marble, I don't know about you, but you know what I see? A block of wood. But an artist looks at that and sees a beautiful statue. And he has the wisdom, the know-how, to take away the pieces that block that image that he sees. That's know-how. And God will sometimes give you that know-how. Sometimes He will give it to others. Like I said, when it comes to a church, it's a beautiful example. There's a lot of things that we will do to reach out to this community that I have no know-how for, and I don't want it. Because I'm busy. I don't know about you. But life is full. But there will be others, some of you, that God will give know-how, or wisdom, or direction, or burden for certain things that we do, amen, that will give a beautiful expression of the life of Christ to those who need that. Amen. It could be recovery type ministries or whatever. I don't know. But God will give know-how to others because no one of us is suited to do it all. Moses wasn't. Amen. He had to delegate some of these responsibilities because it really wasn't for him to do. I remember when I went to Vermont, I wasn't really all that computer savvy back then. I did my traveling ministry, carried about a 50-pound briefcase with books and Bibles. Now I carry a notepad and an iPad, and that's it. And I can go anywhere with, you know, less than a pound in my hand. But back then, I carried, you know, 50 pounds worth of books, and I didn't have a laptop, I didn't have an iPad. Frankly, I don't know how I survived, but that's what I did back then. So when it came time to go to Vermont and launch our church, there was a lot of things we needed that I did not know how to do. And the very first thing that the Lord began to deal with me about was to establish a partnership program to help support the work there. Now when you're traveling, or like an apostolic work, you're going to plant a work, you're a missionary. Even if God told you to do it in the United States, it's the same as missions anywhere else. You don't have all the resources yourself to do it. And God had sent me ahead 6 years in advance to that area to build relationships with other pastors. And God gave me the wisdom to put together a partnership program, and sure enough, a lot of these other churches began to support us and help us financially. He gave me the wisdom. I laid on, you know how I got that? I'm laying on my bed. I'm praying. I'm not out there reading 1,001 books. It wouldn't maybe have hurt to do that. But I'm just praying, laying on my bed. Lord, how should we do this? And I mean, boom, all of a sudden, this is what I want you to do. I want you to start a vision. I want you to start a partnership program. I want you to call it Vision Vermont. I want you to speak to all these pastors whom I have brought you into contact with, who trust you, who know your ministry, who believe in the vision that God has given you. I went in and I shared my vision with Mark Brzee, who pastors World Outreach Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mark didn't know me from Adam, other than he had confirmed by word of prophecy the call on my life. So I asked for a meeting with him. I began to share my vision with him. And you know, when something's alive on the inside of you, it'll just come out. And I'm preaching to him about, we're going to go to Vermont and we're going to build this church. And next thing I know, I'm all but on top of his desk preaching at him. And before I left that room, he had committed to support us $250 a month. And I had one pastor after another who began to do that kind of thing, various amounts, and yet it helped to sustain that work. I would never have dreamed to do all that. But God sent me 6 years in advance of where He was going to have me plant a church to build those relationships. Another thing we needed was graphic design. If I'm going to do a partnership program, I need brochures, I need pamphlets. And I had never done graphic design, but I had a friend who did. And I had watched him enough, and I had kind of an image of what I wanted to see. So I went to the graphic design program that I had, hardly had never opened one up before, and God gave me the know-how, and I did it. It didn't look that great. I wouldn't want you to see it today compared to like the magazine. We've grown a little bit in our ability to do graphic design. But back then, it would not have looked like this. It would have looked like a crayon drawing from a first grader. Amen. But we did the best we could with what we had, and God blessed. Sometimes you got to start with what you got. You know, if you're not willing to put to work what you have, oh, pastor, I wouldn't want to do that. You know, there's somebody who can do it better. Yeah, but maybe God wants to develop you in that. And so maybe you got to just step out and just test the waters a little bit and see what God might do with your little, you know, to might offering of your ability, and He'll cause that to increase and bless you with wisdom. Then I needed a website. Same thing. I remember I'm looking at a new computer. I pulled one out of a Hewlett-Packard box, and I'm looking at this screen, and there's this little icon about video editing. Well, you know, I knew that you could get on the public access station in Vermont, and I thought, well, that'd be a good way to advertise our church, get the word out there, because it's not just about building a church. It's about getting the word of God to these people. So I thought, well, why wouldn't we want to utilize something like that? So we began to do that. Well, at first I went to their studio, and I had someone kind of helping me. I thought, you know, if I did this at home with my own software, I could have total creative control. And that's just kind of the way I am. So I had this little icon. I double-clicked it. I opened it up. And here's what's called a non-linear video editing program. That meant about as much to me as it probably does to you right now. I had no idea what that meant or what to do. But somehow, I looked at it and I thought, I can do that. What is that? It's wisdom. And suddenly, I knew how to do that. And I went from this little cheapy freebie to about a $700 program I began to use to develop our program. And we covered a third of the state at least with our broadcast. But I certainly didn't know how to do that day one when I double-clicked that little icon and it popped up. But we used what we had. Like I said, same thing with a website. A little icon on there said, build your own website. I thought, I think I can do that. I double-clicked that thing. I didn't know anything about web design. Are you kidding me? Within 2 hours, we had a website up. Now, it didn't look pretty. It certainly doesn't look like our website today. But I'm saying that you've got to start with what you've got, and God will add wisdom to you. Can you say amen? I remember a friend of mine, I'll kind of close with this story, a friend of mine named Rick Ramsey. He and I traveled and ministered together. And when he was helping another pastor in Sacramento, they were going to have a citywide outreach. Now, Rick is a very good guitar player, but he had kind of, in surrendering to the ministry, had kind of left guitar playing to the side and was focusing more on, you know, the call of God on his life. But an opportunity came for him to help with a worship team in this citywide event. And he had his guitar and everything, but whenever he played at the church, he'd just plug into their amplifiers and so forth. Well, for this gig, he was going to need his own amp. And he didn't have one, and he didn't have the money. So he's asking God, Lord, I need it. He was telling the Lord, I need an amp. Now, a lot of times what we think God's going to do is drop amps out of the sky. What God instead will do is give you wisdom. Now, how many of you know the Bible said that God is the one who gives us the ability to get wealth? Ability to get wealth is better than wealth. Wealth will feed you for a day. The ability to get wealth will feed you for the rest of your life. So what God did was give Rick some wisdom. At that time, he was in ministry, but he was also working at a polishing company. They had polished brass and metals for different kinds of household things. And one of the things that that company would get in periodically are these knobs for Jacuzzi Whirlpool. And they were paid by piece, these guys. So they had an hourly wage, but then like things like this would come in, and if you wanted to do them, they'd pay you per piece. And Rick said nobody wanted to mess with these things because it took so long to do each one, and you know, it just was kind of self-defeating. You'd spend an hour, you know, to do one and not get paid all that much. He said, but then suddenly I looked at him, and I knew what to do. He said, God gave me the wisdom to develop this little device where I could do four or five at a time. He said, suddenly, man, I'm popping these things off left and right. And he said, I made all this extra money, enough for the amp, and then we ran out. Jacuzzi Whirlpool didn't need us anymore. But God gave him the wisdom and the know-how to deal with what he needed wisdom for at the time. I'm telling you, friend, there's going to be a lot of times in your life where God will meet the need. He'll give you the know-how to do something for the moment. And a lot of times, friends, we can pass this off as being, well, you know, it just worked out that way. But I'm telling you, a lot of this is God, and we don't even realize it. Amen. I wonder how many of us through life can look back now over the course of 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and we look at where we are today and we see, you know, if I really look back in the shadows, I can see that God was pulling a lot of strings, opening and shutting a lot of doors. Amen. Speaking to my heart in ways that were very subtle, I could have easily missed, and yet somehow or another, we step through the opportunity. We step through the right door. And a lot of times, God is leading us a lot more than we realize. And He's speaking wisdom and direction to our hearts. But what we need to be, friends, is intentional about this. You know, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? In other words, why even call me Lord and not do what I say? And if we're going to follow God's will for our life, we're going to have to get intentional about His wisdom. Amen. We're going to have to get intentional. Not only about the what to do, but the how to. Amen. You know, friends, as believers, one of the things we're committed to do in this church is not just get people saved, but make disciples. Making disciples means we mature. That means that as we grow, we leave more and more of our own self-interest behind and say, God, what are the interests of the kingdom? What can I do to better serve the purposes of the kingdom? It means that we make more and more time in our schedule for the things that are pertinent to the kingdom of heaven and the advancement of God's purposes than just our stuff. Can you say amen? To do that, we're going to have to ask God for wisdom and get intentional about it. We're going to have to press into Him more. I believe that there are many people who for whom God had planned a very beautiful, fruitful, and significant life, and they never stepped into it because they never got interested enough to even ask God, "What's Your will for my life?" What gifts, perhaps, lay dormant on the inside of any one of us, like Bezalel and Aholiab had, to look at something and just suddenly know how to do it? You might have had that all your life and used it in your profession, not realizing that it was a gift of God to also help build up the kingdom of heaven. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercies, Your loving kindnesses. Father, we need Your know-how in this life. Father, as we step out this door today, there's going to be circumstances and situations that we step into that we're going to need to know the what to do, the how to, and the when to. I pray, Father God, that in each of our cases we become more sensitized to Your voice, to Your wisdom. Father, I pray that we'd become committed to Your Word. And Father, not lay aside the wisdom of Your Word and say, "Well, I'm just going to go ahead and do this and trust that God will turn a blind eye." Father, may we know that following the wisdom of the Word is the only way to prosper and succeed in life, and to shut the door absolutely to the works of the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Father, may we have hearts sensitized to hear the voice of God, not only the what, but the how. And Father, may we become conscious of those abilities that You put on the inside of us, not just to be a blessing in our own lives, or to make us a living, but Father, also to be an asset and a blessing to the kingdom of heaven. I thank You, Father, for speaking to our hearts and giving us wisdom in these areas. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.